I want to read just a portion of this verse in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. I want to just look here and pull it right out of the context and look at a few things concerning what the Apostle Paul said here in verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and urging one another, encouraging one another, warning one another, admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. You know, I don't say many of the Lord's children, believers, but I imagine there's a few that seldom read the Lord's Word. They just don't read it very much. Now that's sad, but it's true. Many believers, several believers, read the Lord's Word very little. And as a result of that, they get very little comfort when they really need comfort in the time of affliction. David said, "This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word has quickened me." And I'd say much trouble that believers get into and the cause of a lot of grief which they face in their life is because they neglect the words of Christ. David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." And I just bet you, if he had kept the words of the Lord from the beginning, he wouldn't have got in trouble. "Now I've kept thy word." And much sin that you and I commit would be avoided if the word of Christ dwelt in our hearts in all wisdom. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." His word will keep us from sin and from snares. "By the word of thy mouth, Lord, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy word is truth. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? But taking heed to thy word." His word will keep us in the ways of truth. And how simple, how much more simple, and how much more clearer our way is when the words of Christ dwell in us. "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light unto my pathway." Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And how much stronger is our faith when the word of Christ dwells in us richly in all wisdom? Faith is something you and I are born without. We can't go up to heaven to get it. We can't muster it up. You ever try to muster up faith? You ever try to believe? The words of Christ is the foundation for our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It gives faith. It brings faith, and it strengthens the faith that it gives. It's vitally linked to our faith, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Lord, speak the word only." What is faith? It's believing Christ. And what is it to believe Christ but to believe His word? "Lord, speak the word only, and thy servant shall be whole." I have not found so great a faith. Faith is simply believing His word. And they're so linked together. They're so linked together. Where there's no words of Christ, there can't be faith. And where His word is not in our hearts as it could be, faith is not as strong as it would be. The word of Christ is vitally linked to our assurance that our hope is a good hope. The hope of the hypocrite shall perish. How do you and I know that we have a good hope? Everybody has some kind of hope. I was talking with a man who owned a mortuary there in Kentucky, and he said he'd been working in that mortuary, I think, at that time for 40 years. And he said he'd never buried the first man without hope. Seemed like when somebody dies, everybody musters up a hope for it. How do you and I know that we have a good hope? It's based upon the words of Christ. Listen to what David said. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Our hope is based upon the words of Christ himself. He gives us a promise in his word, and we hope in it. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. God said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. I know how old you are. I know how barren Sarah is. But I promise you a son. Abraham said, I'm going to hope in that promise. That's a good hope. A hope that's based upon the words of Christ himself. My soul fainted for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I asked my dad one time. My dad was an old, old man. Didn't live very long after I asked him this question. I said, Dad, I said, you've been professing the Lord. He's been professing the Lord probably 60 years. And I said, what's your hope based on? And he looked at me. And he never did answer me. He never did answer me. Ain't that sad? Peter said, be ready always, didn't he? Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asked you a reason of the hope that's in you. How do we know our hope's a good hope? It's based upon the words of Christ. And where the words of Christ doesn't dwell in the heart, faith has to be weak and hope has to be dim. Because the words of Christ is the foundation of these graces. It's so vitally linked to these graces, faith and hope. If you've been neglected the words of Christ, brothers and sisters, begin reading it. Begin reading it regularly on a daily basis. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. How does the word of Christ get in a man? How does the words of Christ get in us? Let it dwell in you. You know, very little of Christ's word gets in the average person by preaching, through preaching or teaching. They just don't hear that much of it. You know, most of us here, the average person I'm talking about, I'm not talking about the preacher or the Sunday school teacher, but I'm talking about the average believer. Very little of Christ's word gets in their heart through preaching and teaching. They're just here probably twice a week. I know we are, aren't we? If you're going to get the words of Christ in you, the chief way that you'll get it in you is by reading his word. Reading his word. And let me say this about reading his word, and please don't understand me. There's two things that hinder the average believer from reading the Lord's word. And this first one may surprise you. But one of the things that hinders the average believer from reading Christ's word is study. Is study. Larry has to study. I have to study. We're teachers and we're preachers. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd do very little study. Study is hard work, ain't it, Larry? And if you study, you've got to have helps. You've got to have some books to study with. And it's difficult work. And my advice to the average believer, don't spend so much time studying. Don't think about studying. Just read. Just read. I take most of my time through the week is spending for me reading for myself. If I spend all the time studying, I tell you, I get so tired. I get so mentally drained. Just read. Just read. Preachers like, a lot of preachers like that word. study to show yourself approved unto God. I like that word that says this, till I come, give attendance to read it. Because I like to read. Just read. Sit down with the book of John and read it right through. Go to Genesis and just read it right through. Read. That's the way Christ's word gets in our hearts. Say, read His word. And there's something else I think also that hinders us in our reading and Christ's word getting in us. We look for immediate results. In our subconscious, we sit down to read His word, and if we don't feel something, and we don't have some immediate insight into what we've read, our immediate instructions, our peace or comfort or joy or something, we get discouraged and say, I'm getting nothing out of this whatsoever. Aren't we that way? We grow discouraged and we quit reading. Reading the Lord's word and getting it in your heart is sort of like eating. I have a brother-in-law, and I think I may have told you about this, but I thought, what a good example this is. I had a brother-in-law that got false teeth, and we went out with him and my sister and ate a pizza. And he would just, I was loving the pizza. Man, I was loving it. It was a good pizza. Licking my fingers, it was good. And I noticed him sitting across from me. It had no effect upon him at all. And I said, what's the matter with you? This is a good. He said, I can't taste a thing. And he got these false teeth, and it was interfering with his taste buds. And he couldn't taste his food. But you know something? He got the same nourishment out of it as I did. You say, Bruce, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Don't look for immediate results. Way down the road somewhere, when you're weak, you'll have a moment of weakness, and then you'll feel the strength of Christ's word. You'll have a time where you run into some darkness and you understand it, and there's when you'll find the word of Christ is light to you. Or your spirit will be troubled over something, and His word will come and comfort you. Don't look for some immediate result. Don't sit down and say, I've read a chapter and haven't got a thing out of it. Just go on reading. Go on reading. You'll see the effects of it. You'll see the nourishment after a while. That's the chief way the words of Christ get in us. Let the words of Christ get in you. Read it and read it and read it and read it. When I was down in Yucatan, they wanted me to teach to the preachers down there, and try to give them some instructions. Me give preachers instructions. I thought that was rather silly myself, but I tried to. But here's what I told them. I said, brothers, if you're going to preach, there's three things you're going to have to remember. If you remember these three things, if God's called you to preach, you can preach. Number one is read His word. And number two is read His word. And number three is read His word. Read His word. Let the words of Christ dwell in you. Get it in your heart. Something else about this. Read it and let it into your heart with the consciousness of whose word it is. Whose word is it? It's the words of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Read it with reverence, because it's the word of Christ our God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Read it prayerfully. Read it slowly. Read it with humility, for it's the spiritual words of Christ. The words I speak unto you are spirit and they're life. And they must be taught us by the Spirit, or we can understand. Read it not as the words of a mere man, because it's the words of the King. Where the words of the King is, there's power. Read it in faith. Read it in hope. Read it in assurance, because it's the word of Christ our Savior. Read it with delight. Read it with joy. Read it with love, for it's the word of Christ our husband. I have espoused you to one husband, even Christ. No child of God, no believer, should ever read the word out of guilt. Nothing is accomplished. Well, I wouldn't say nothing, but very little is accomplished through guilt. This is the words of our husband. If your husband was in a foreign country and he wrote you a letter, and you got that letter in your hand, would you say, "Boy, I've got to read this. I'm going to be overwhelmed with guilt if I don't"? Would you say that? That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Here's a letter from my husband. This is a love letter from my husband. Read it in love. If you don't read his word, don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel guilty about it. Don't let your life be ruled by guilt. Don't feel guilty if you don't read the words of your Savior. Instead, just realize whose word it is and how much you're missing by not reading it. And read with the intention and with a purpose and with a need of getting the message from Christ's word. Notice what he said. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In all wisdom. It's not enough just to read it. It's not enough just to get some bare knowledge from it. But we need to get the message from it. In all wisdom. I know a guy, he used to be sort of a friend of mine. He's a Free Will Baptist preacher. And at that time, which has been probably 15, 18 years ago, he had the entire New Testament memorized. I mean, talking with him like talking with the Bible. He's probably got the old memorized by now. And I say this with all courtesy to that poor man. He didn't have a spiritual lick of sense. I sat and listened to him one Sunday, and he preached against the doctrines of grace. And tried to use the scriptures to disprove every one of them. Do you think he's got any sense? The Bible is almost to him what it was to the Jews. It was a book full of legal commandments. A book full of rules and rites and ceremonies. A book that depended upon the free will of man. The power of man's will. Instead of the power and the merits of the Son of God. He didn't have any wisdom. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You read this book, and if you see everything in here is by chance and depends upon human will, and the power and merits of Christ are relegated to a mere helpless bystander, hoping and praying that somebody will let him do something, you're not reading with wisdom. The Bible is the Word of Christ. And the Word of Christ does not degrade and humiliate him. Now, he doesn't. If a man is reading the words of Christ and he's reached the conclusion that the Scriptures reveals a puny little helpless Christ, he's missed the message of this book. This words of Christ sets forth the glory of the person of Christ and the wonders of the mighty acts of Christ and that everlasting salvation from sin that is in Christ. Brother Mann used to say the Bible is a H-I-M book. It's a hymn book. It's the word of Christ. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. Ain't that what he said? From a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. Not just memorization of bare knowledge. That's not enough, is it? As we grow in knowledge, we must grow in grace and increase in wisdom. Grow in grace and knowledge. If you grow in knowledge, you'll get puffed up. You've got to grow in grace and in knowledge. Grace keeps us needy, doesn't it? Grace keeps us humble. We grow in knowledge through humility. Knowledge comes through a broken heart. Knowledge comes through a broken spirit. You can read the Word of Christ and even grow in some knowledge of Christ. But I tell you, if you don't grow in grace, you'll get proud of your knowledge. Grace. Grace and knowledge. And someone said, if we don't increase in wisdom, we'll be like a car, a vehicle without a driver. That's what knowledge is without wisdom. Knowledge is like a vehicle without a driver. Knowledge is the vehicle. Wisdom is the driver. And you know that's a dangerous thing to be going down the road, ain't it? The dangerous people in this world is those who read the Word of Christ and have a little knowledge but no wisdom. No wisdom. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And something else he says here. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. And you know when it does. When it does is when we see how rich we are. The words of Christ reveals to us how rich a people we are. God hath chosen the poor of this world rich in faith. I tell you, you can possess all the riches of this world, and if you don't have faith, you've never been given faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're still in poverty. But if you've been given this faith, God has given you faith, a heart faith, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're so rich, there's no man-made vault that can hold that precious treasure. Most people in this world, the masses of people, live without saving faith, and they die without saving faith. But God give you faith, Clarence. You're rich. You're rich. You're rich. And look what he says back here in chapter 2 of this book. Look here in verse 2. Chapter 2 and verse 2. That their hearts might be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge, to the profession, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Full assurance of understanding. Of what? Some mysteries. The mystery of God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And I tell you, I don't know about a lot of these mysteries, but we find some right here. Look in chapter 1. Look here in verse 27. Here's a mystery. And we have the assurance of this. Look at it. You understand this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a mystery. Christ who is in heaven and He's in you. Christ who is so immense that He fills heaven and earth and He's in your heart. And that's your hope of glory, turn. He's in you. You can't perish if He's in you, can you? That's a mystery. That's a mystery. But you understand that, don't you? And you have the assurance of that. Look here, what a mystery. Look in chapter 2 and verse 9. For in Him, in Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Mary, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. In His body. That's a mystery, ain't it? And look in verse 10. And ye are complete, lacking nothing, full to the brim, in Him. That's another mystery. And look here, what a mystery. Look in chapter 3 and verse 11. Look at this. There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all. And He's in all. He's in all who believe. And He is all. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and all. And look what He says back over in chapter 2 again. Look here in verse 6. As you have therefore received this Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Oh, David said, I rejoice at thy word. We wouldn't have these precious truths if it was the word of Christ, would we? David said, I read them. Sometimes I stay up all night, he said, reading them. I prevent the rising of the sun just to read and meditate in His word. And he said, I rejoice at it as they that find great spoil. We have hope. This poor, poor world that you and I live in, it's in darkness, uncertainty, confusion, just groping around in darkness. Don't know what faces it tomorrow, but it faces an eternity that it cannot avoid and has no hope. But you and I have a good hope, don't we? We have a good hope. The words of Christ has given us a good hope. Rich, a rich hope, a sure and certain hope. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let it dwell in you with a childlike faith and a trust. A childlike faith. The greatest honor that you and I could bestow upon our Savior is just to believe Him. Believe what He tells us. Just like a little child believes his father and his mother. Lord, I'm a child. Teach me and I'll believe what You tell me. Just teach me. The angel came to Mary, the angel Gabriel. He came to that virgin and he said, you're going to have a son. He's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. And God's going to give him a kingdom. He's going to rule. He's going to reign. And she said, I don't even know a man. Never known a man. How can I have a child? And he simply said to her, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And the power of the Highest is going to overshadow you. That's not even according to our reason, is it? Who can understand such a thing? But you know what she said. Let it be according to your word. And she went up to see her cousin Elizabeth and told her what had happened. And she said, Mary, you're a blessed woman because you believed. You submitted your reason to faith and revelation. That's a blessing, eh? Just received it as a little child. Things that seem impossible to us, we believe them, don't we? We just submit our understanding right to it and say, Lord, I believe. With God, all things are possible, I believe. I tell you one thing, brother. I'm here the lowest fellow you ever seen in your life. I'm one of the sorriest men you ever laid your eyes on. But I believe I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord. Now that's amazing to me. That's amazing. Heaven's high. Heaven's high. And I'm low. I'm out of the dust. But I believe something that's amazing simply because God said, I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord. I believe it. I believe Him. A childlike faith, a childlike trust. And I won't be disappointed either. And you won't either if you believe Him. You won't if you believe Him. Let the words of Christ dwell in you honestly. Let it dwell in you sincerely, with sincerity and fairly. And brothers and sisters, let me say this. It won't dwell in us any other way. The Word of God is pure. The Word of God is truth, and it's sincere, and it's honest. And the only way it can dwell in us is for us to let it dwell there in sincerity and in honesty. Let it teach us the truth. Don't go with your preconceived ideas. Don't go to the words of Christ desiring it submit to our system of theology. Go there sincerely and deal with it. What it seems to teach at first probably is what it teaches. It's when we start trying to twist it and mold it, we get in trouble. If it teaches, if it seems to teach God's sovereignty, it probably does. If it seems to teach man's responsibility, it probably does. But go to the Word of Christ and get it in your heart and be sincere with it and be honest with it. And don't you talk to it. You let it talk to you. And he says here, and I like this, let the words of Christ dwell in you. Let it dwell there. It's not something that you can force. And it ain't something I can force on you. Lovingly allow it to dwell there. Lovingly do so. Let it. And let the words of Christ dwell in you just like you let your food into you daily. Daily. You and I ate today, and if we don't eat for a couple of days, we're going to lose the nourishment, aren't we? And we're going to start getting weak. The Lord made it that way. He made us to eat. Let it be the same way with Christ's words. Eat it daily. When the Lord give the children of Israel manna, He give it to them every day. Every day. Go to the manna of this word, brothers and sisters, every day. Blessed is the man who meditates in this, when? Day and night. Day and night. Daily, eat His Word. Shut the TV off. If you say, I ain't got time, shut that TV off. You say, well, I've got to run and take a bath. Maybe skip a bath. You say, well, we've got to eat. Man shall not live by bread alone. I'm just saying this is the most important daily thing that you and I could ever do, brothers and sisters. We ain't got much longer in this life, have we? And we'll never read another sentence, probably, after we die. All the reading we're going to do, the words of Christ, will be here. Mr. Spurgeon said he hopes there'll be a Bible there in heaven for us to go look at. I do too. But right here is where we need to read it and get it in our hearts daily. And as we do that, the apostle tells us here, we can teach one another. We can help one another and comfort one another. If I got up here and started giving you my opinions, I wouldn't last probably over a month, would I? At first, you'd probably be somewhat excited about it. You know, I get up and tell what's happened to me and what I've experienced and give you my opinions. It may seem exciting for services, but after a while, you would start saying, Bruce, I want the Word of Christ. You're just not helping me. Why don't you help me when you quote Scripture to me? When you say, here's what the Lord said. That's when we help each other. Do you ever go to a worship service? I know you have. And you've been down, and somebody got up and just read His Word. And oh, it just encouraged you. Or somebody got up and taught His Word, preached His Word, just encouraged you and enlightened. You come with a question. You come with a question, Dave. And lo and behold, Christ's Word answers it before you leave. You ever had that happen to you? Teaching and admonishing one another. If the Word of Christ dwells in us in all wisdom, we'll help one another. We'll help one another. I hope the Lord's pleased to bless His Word to your heart. Clarence, would you come and